I'm downstairs with the teens, so I'm a little geared up for the teenagers. So my message tonight might be geared more towards teenagers, and my announcements might be geared more towards teenagers. But you have to bear with me, and hopefully it'll be applicable for you. Just bear with me for a second. I got a couple of announcements I got to give them, so just bear with me. This Saturday, 4:15, fun and stuff. All you for 3 hours. All the go-karts you can ride. All the putt-putt, laser tag, rock wall, all that kind of stuff. And adults that feel like they should be in that teenage bracket, feel free to come. $18. Show up at 4:15. We'll be back by 8:30. Make sure you eat before you come because we're not stopping. So 4:15. Also, the work day on September 16th. Make sure you guys make plans to be there before the Balloon Fair. And also, we're giving away the MP3 player, the 256 megabyte MP3 player, with 100 Christian songs already downloaded on it. We'll be giving that away in 2.5 weeks, but it's for the team that brings the most visitors. So if you will bring the most visitors, you will be put in, for every visitor you bring, your name will be put into a hat, and we'll be drawing it the second Sunday in September. But one thing that we've included is if you bring your friends to Fun and Stuff this Saturday, we'll also give you that as visitors. So if you you can bring as many friends as you want on Saturday, this coming Sunday, and the following Sunday to win the MP3 player. So I think that's it. Am I forgetting anything, Misty, for the teens? Okay. If I think of it while I'm preaching, I'll just stop and go back to that. All right. If you would, turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 16, and starting in verse 15. Judges 16 and verse 15. Many of you guys know this is the story of Samson. And if you would, please stand with me as we read God's word tonight. Judges 16, starting in verse 15. We'll read just a quick few verses here. And then before we pray, we'll read one more verse in Ephesians. So as soon as we're done with Judges, we'll flip to Ephesians, read one verse, and then we'll pray. Judges 16, starting in verse 15, and it says, "And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If it be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called to the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came upon her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." Now turn real quick over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, one more verse, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and if you don't have it, you can listen. Ephesians 6, verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for this great opportunity. I don't usually get this opportunity, but I want to thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'll come down, and I pray that you'll fill this place. But most of all, I pray that you'll fill me. Holy Spirit, do something mighty in me so that I can speak to these people. Lord God, I can't do this alone. I'm not even a called preacher. I'm just a guy that works for the youth. And I pray that you'll come down and do something mighty in me. God, this is such a, you know, I'm struggling with the message that you gave me. It's a hard message to preach, and I pray that you'll just give me the power to preach it and preach it without apology. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So as we see in Judges, Samson, and I'm going to flip back to Judges, and you can do the same. Judges chapter 16, we see that Samson was tricked. Samson, maybe not tricked, but as every woman has done to you married men, she talked you into doing something that you might not have wanted to do. But Samson had this same problem that a lot of us married men have. But amen, that's right. You amen all you want to tonight. And so Samson, as you can see, three different places in verse 17, he says he told her all his heart. In verse 18, he had told her all his heart. And then later in verse 18, showed me all his heart. Tonight, the subject that I chose to speak on is not an easy one. It's a college, probably a college level thought. So bear with me. I'm going to go fast. I've got a lot of information to give you. But it's a tough subject to speak on because it's something that I lack in my life. And I would say probably 95% of the Christians in this world lack it in their lives. And what I'm going to speak on tonight, the title of my message is The Power of a Transparent Life. The Power of a Transparent Life. As you look in Judges there, verse 17 and verse 18, you see that Samson was transparent with the wrong people. Samson wasn't transparent to his parents. Samson wasn't transparent to his authorities. Samson was transparent to his mistress. Samson wasn't transparent to his soon-to-be father-in-law that he gave away his soon-to-be wife. He wasn't transparent with him. He was transparent with the person that could hurt him most. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. Who are you transparent with? Who am I transparent with? The power of a transparent life. As I was watching the other day, I was watching my grandfather. He's actually here tonight. He was running the bulldozer. And as a lot of you know, my father has some equipment, and I was watching him run the bulldozer, and shameless plug here, he's probably one of the best bulldozer operators I've ever seen, but that's because I'm so terrible, but makes him look that much better. But as you run the bulldozer, I was thinking how it pertains to preaching. And he would start, and obviously when you have a bulldozer, you're trying to push dirt. And maybe you have a mound of dirt you're trying to get from one area to another area. And your objective is to move that dirt from here to there. And you start off by pushing as much dirt as you possibly can. It might not be the prettiest. It might not be the most level. And when you're me, it looks like the waves of the ocean when you're pushing if anybody's, you know. But anyways, you push as much dirt as you possibly can. And you keep going and you push and you push and you push until you have all the dirt from this objective to this objective. And then you come back and you smooth it over. You make it level. You make it nice. And that's kind of what I'm going to try to do tonight is I'm going to push a lot of dirt out of the way tonight. I'm going to push it out of the way. And it might not be pretty. I might not speak the best. But hopefully you'll get the point as I try to get from objective A to objective B. Bear with me. At the end, we'll kind of smooth it all over. Transparency. Transparency. An open and honest attitude of truth and respect. An open, I'll say it one more time, an open and honest attitude of truth and respect. So I'm trying to talk to you tonight about the power of transparency, the power of being open and honest with an attitude of truth and respect. Misty and I have a pretty decent relationship. I hope we have a decent relationship. I'd be in trouble if I was saying that up here. We have a very open relationship. Missy and I tell each other a lot. We tell each other the truth. And sometimes it's not easy to hear the truth, especially from your wife. But it's very hard to hear the truth sometimes. But we are very honest and we've been dedicated through some trials and through some problems and through some heartaches. We've decided that telling each other the truth is so much better than not telling each other the truth and hiding it and guarding it and trying to keep it from it. Because then when it comes out, it's 10 times worse. But we've decided that we're going to tell each other and be honest with each other. And no matter what the outcome is, and unless she's asking me if she looks fat in a dress, I always go with the, you look absolutely gorgeous. But other than that, we always tell the truth. But the secret of a great relationship is transparency. Transparency. If you want to have a good relationship with anyone, it's transparency. Think about this. If you have a friend, how good of a friend is he or she if you can't be openly honest with them? If you have to hide who you really are, if you have to hide who you are inside how good of a friend is he or she? Some of the best friends I've had in life are ones that know how bad I am, know how pitiful I am, know my strengths, know my weaknesses. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. And a great relationship is transparency, an open and honest attitude of truth and respect. Everyone is transparent with somebody. Everyone's transparent with somebody. Pardon me as I get nervous. My mouth gets dry and I have to take a drink. Everyone is transparent with someone. Your kids are transparent with someone. The adults are transparent with somebody. Everybody's transparent with someone. It's just not always the right people. It's not always the right people. As I was preparing this message, I thought of David and how David was transparent with Bathsheba, but David wasn't transparent with Nathan, the man of God. And as I went further, Amnon, if you guys know the story of Amnon, Amnon was transparent with Jonadab, but he wasn't transparent with his father, David. You see, Amnon wanted to marry his half-sister. And in the kingly line, that was okay. If he would have went to his father, David, and said, David, Dad, I want to marry Tamar. He would have said, you know, he probably would have said, that's fine. It was okay in the kingly line, but he had to go to Jonadab and say to Jonadab what he wanted to do to his sister. And because Jonadab was such a bad influence on his life, he ended up raping his sister and causing great turmoil to the kingdom of David. A backbiter. A backbiter is transparent with everyone but God. How many times have you heard somebody say behind somebody else's back, well, this person does this, and oh, I hate what that person does, and that person, oh, I can't stand what that person was. Could you imagine if all the backbiters in our church, all the murmuring and all the complaining, if we channeled that towards God, and we said, God, I'm having a hard time with so-and-so. I'm sure God hears that a lot. I'm having a hard time with so-and-so, God. This is one of my faults. I get so negative when things bother me, and I can't let it go, and it bothers me, and I want counsel. But if I would just go to God and go to the throne of God and say, God, this is bothering me, and it's not right. I'm having a hard time with this, God. And if I was transparent with God, I believe that I would have a lot more success in relationships in the church. A teen rebel. A teenager that's not succumbing to the wishes of his parents or the wishes of God is transparent with his friends, but not his parents. A teenager that's doing things that he shouldn't is obviously being more transparent with his friends when they go out and do things that they shouldn't than he is with his parents. A liar is transparent with no one, including himself. A liar is transparent with no one, including himself. To go back to the teen part, I'm geared up for teens. And the one thing that really bothers me, the one thing that bothers me the most is I can deal with honesty. If you're the worst person in the world, that doesn't bother me that bad. You can tell me the worst person in the world. You can tell me all the bad things you do. But the thing that bothers me the most is when you see the people come into church and they got the nice tie with the little dimple in it, and they got the shirt, and they got the suit coat on, and they got the pants, and their tie match their socks, and their belt matches their shoes, and the girls come in and they got a nice skirt and a nice blouse on. But then you see them at the mall, and you see them walking around the mall, and they act like the world, and they look like the world, and they smell like the world, and they live like the world. You know why? Because they're being transparent with the world and not with God on Sunday when they come to church. An adulterer is transparent with his mistress and not his wife. A fornicator is transparent with his girlfriend and not the girlfriend's daddy. How many times if a teenager would tell, if a guy that had an intention with a teen girl, if you guys had an intention with a teen girl and you're sitting there in the back seat of a car, if you would stop being transparent with that girl and you'd go inside and be transparent with that girl's daddy, I'm sure you wouldn't be going too much further. That's how it works. If you're transparent with the right people, it puts you in the right situation. When you're honest with everyone, you unlock the power of transparency. The power of transparency. Who is qualified for us to be transparent with? Your preacher, your parents, your youth pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your grandparents, and maybe some godly friends. And who shouldn't you be transparent with? Well, that's the people that drive a wedge between your pastor and your Sunday school teacher and your youth pastor and your parents and your grandparents and your godly friends. That's who you shouldn't be transparent with. As I look, and sometimes we get in trouble for being too transparent. And a lot of times I'll speak something on my mind, and preacher, actually, a lot of times he'll look at me like, I can't believe you just said that. But I like, sometimes it just comes out, and I'm transparent, and I want to just get it out, and I want to say what I really feel. And I think of the story of Daniel, and Daniel was transparent. Daniel was very transparent. Daniel, as the king brought him that portion of meat, he said, I can't eat that meat. And you say, well, he shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said that to the king. But you know what? Daniel ended up being stronger. And he took the three Hebrew children with him, and he ended up being stronger and better than, it actually says 10 times better than all that the king had to offer. And then when the king said, you can't pray. You can't pray anymore, or they made the decree. And Daniel said, I have to pray. It's my duty to pray. I promised God that I'm going to pray. And he opened up his window three times a day, and he kneeled down before God, and he prayed. He was very transparent. He was very transparent, and it ended up in the lion's den. But God saved his life through all that honesty and through all that attitude of truth and respect. Daniel was second in command. And as you look at Joseph, think about Joseph. Joseph went to his brothers and he said, I had a dream that you were going to bow down to me. Could you imagine being the youngest brother of 12 and telling your brothers, actually, I think he had a younger brother, but second youngest, and that you're going to bow down to me. Could you imagine saying that to him? Oh, he shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have been so transparent. He shouldn't have said that. What happened to him? He got thrown in the pit, and then he got sold at the caravan, and he got put in Potiphar's house, and he got put in jail, and all the things that happened to Joseph. But you know what? I'd rather be Joseph, who was transparent and ended up in such high command, and his brothers came and had to beg him for food. He was transparent. Joseph was transparent. I'll take a transparent boy or girl any day over somebody that's deceitful. I'd rather have to bridle somebody's tongue than to have to worry about what they're saying behind your back. One thing that I enjoy so much about my son, and sometimes I don't enjoy it, but there's times when Skyler, being 5 years old, he gets away with it now. In a few years, he probably won't. Skyler seems to say exactly what's on his mind at the most inopportune times. And whether you're in the bathroom and he's talking, or whether you're at a restaurant and he doesn't like the food, or tonight we were sitting at Misty at a volleyball game and I was eating dinner at my parents' house, and Skyler and I were there, and Skyler said, all this food at this table is yuck. He said, I don't like anything. And I was like, thanks for being transparent, Skyler. And but Skyler is very transparent. If it's in his mind, it's coming out of his mouth. That's just how he is. And I kind of enjoy that, except for sometimes. But that was all introduction to tell you about the power of transparency, to explain my point about transparency. Now, I've got 4 points, and we'll be through. 4 points about the power of transparency. Number one. The power of transparency will do these things for, or will help you accomplish. Number one, it prepares you for heaven. The power of transparency prepares you for heaven. If you're transparent with God tonight, if you can be transparent with God, if you can say, God, I'm a sinner, that's the first step to being to accepting salvation. If you can look at God and say, God, I've done so much wrong, and I'm a sinner, God, and I've done all these things, and you're very transparent with God. God, that's the first step to salvation. You know what? It's no secret. I'm the youth pastor of this church, probably one of the larger youth groups in Portage County, and I'm a sinner. I teach your children every Wednesday and Sunday morning, and I'm a sinner. I sit on the platform, and I'm a sinner. I go to the staff meetings, and I'm a sinner. I sing behind the piano with my wife, and I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, just like every single person that was born on this earth. If you were transparent with God tonight, you would admit to God that you were a sinner, that you have sinned. Because if you look at Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you can admit to God that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, that's the first step in salvation. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. He has saved us. If you can admit to God tonight that you're a sinner, be completely transparent with Him, He can provide you with heaven. Don't walk out. A lot of you guys are, some of you might be saying, I don't believe you can know. I don't think you can honestly know that you can go to heaven. I do. I do. Because as a 12-year-old boy, scared to death, because at 3 or 4 years old, I thought I accepted Christ, didn't really know. And at 12 years old, laying in bed night after night, worried about my soul, worried about waking up the next morning and not being alive and waking up in eternity and waking up in fire and waking up, you know, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I was so scared as a 12-year-old boy, I kept coming out to my parents at nighttime and saying, what should I do? And finally, I settled it. And I claimed God's promises and I said, God, I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died and that you were buried and that you rose again. And now I want to claim that promise that if I accept you, you'll take me to heaven when I die. Don't leave tonight. Do not leave this place tonight if you're not sure. If you wake up tonight and you're not on this earth anymore, you'll either be in heaven or hell. Be transparent with yourself. Realize that you will wake up one day in heaven or in hell. Be transparent with yourself and then be transparent with God and tell God that I am a sinner and I can't get to heaven. It's not by my righteousness, but it's according to His mercy. He has saved us. Number one, it prepares you for heaven. And number two, it protects you in your marriage. Transparency protects you in your marriage. As we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I take that verse saying that in your most intimate parts, in your most intimate times, in your most intimate places, be truthful. Be truthful. Be truthful with your spouse. Be truthful with God in your marriage. Tell God the problems of your marriage and work them out with your spouse. Why is it that every adulterous situation, why is it that when a man goes and cheats on a woman or a woman cheats on a man, why is it that in every adulterous situation, the first thing that they say is, well, I could talk to them. They listen to me. They understood me more than anybody else. I could tell them what I really felt. I could tell them what I really thought. Almost in every adulterous situation, that's the case. And you know what? You know where it ends up? You can talk with them, but then you're going to lose your spouse. And then you're going to lose your house. And then you're going to lose your husband and wife. And then you're going to lose your kids. And then you're going to lose every dream and aspiration that you ever had because you couldn't be transparent with the one who loved you enough to say, I'll spend the rest of my life with him or her. You owe it to your spouse to be transparent. You owe it to them. You owe it to them. God gave you that person. God said, God has a plan for every person, teenager. When you are out dating, there is one person that God has set aside just for you. God has set aside them just for you, Josh Howard. There's a girl out there. As crazy as that might sound, there's a girl out there just for you, Josh Howard. But God gave you that gift. God gave you that gift, and we owe it to God, and we owe it to our spouse to be transparent. It'll protect your marriage. It'll protect your marriage. And then when your spouse is honest with you, you better thank God. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Misty and I, we talk about, as a matter of fact, every time I speak, I ask Misty to tell me what I did wrong. And that's not easy to take. But I bug her until she tells me two or three or four or five or however many she can come up with. Sometimes a big long list. How many things I did wrong, and I'll do it tonight. As we drive home, as we get home, I'll say, Misty, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? Did I mispronounce words? Did I put the wrong people with the wrong people? Was I in the wrong? And she'll let me know what she thought. And you know, it's hard to deal with sometimes, but you know what? It's proper. It's proper to be transparent with your spouse. After all that critiquing, after I take all that and I go, man, she thinks I stink. And I realize that she's telling me that out of love because she wants me to get better. And I do the same thing for her. We talk about her coaching and she talks about my coaching. We talk about our jobs and we talk about how we serve in the youth group and what we both can do better. And we talk about our fears and we talk about our problems and we talk about our insecurities and we talk about all that because there's only one person that's going to help you get better aside from God, and that's your spouse. Be transparent with your spouse. Number one, it prepares you for heaven. Number two, it protects you in your marriage. And number three, it presents job security. I like this one. I've got employees of my own. And I appreciate transparency to an employer. Do you know that God wants you to be honest to your employer? Do you know that if you are employed by somebody and he gives you an 8-hour day, you should put in an 8-hour day and not clock in and work? And not work during that 8 hours. When I was in Atlanta and I was managing those radio stations, I hired and fired a lot of people. And within 2-3 minutes tops, I would come in and these guys, you know, they wanted a job so bad. They would come in decked out. I mean, they had their suit, their tie on. I mean, but aside from all that, and some of these guys would come in, and I could tell, they'd have $300-$400 gator skin shoes on. And I worked for an African American station for a little while. They came in with the gators. They were top notch. But you guys, anyways. It presents job security. When I would sit across from these people and they'd be decked out, it wouldn't take but 2 or 3 minutes of them opening their mouths and talking with me, and I would know if they were transparent. I would know if they were being honest. I would know without a shadow of a doubt if they had something to hide. And most of it started with the eyes. If I had a guy sitting across the table from me that wouldn't look me in the eyes, I knew he had something to hide. If you cannot look people in the eyes. I had a teenager last week that's not in church here anymore. And I sat down and I talked to them. And he was telling me about all the problems he had in his life. And he kept looking down. And I said, would you mind looking at me in the eye? I said, if I'm going to help you, I need to understand. And I need to understand where you're coming from. Would you mind looking at me in the eye? And he kept looking away. And he was telling me all these things. And I said, I have to be very careful not to mention his name. And he would look up at me. And when he was done, and I would say, is that the truth? And he would kind of put his head back down and say, yeah. I said, I know that you're not being transparent with me. I know you're not being honest with me because you will not look me in the eye. Aside from being scared, you can look, any man can look any other man in the eye if he's open and a clean slate to him. If I have nothing to hide, why, I can look you in the eye unless I'm scared. But I know he wasn't scared of me. He was rather mad at me. But he couldn't look me in the eye because he wasn't being transparent and honest. And that's the truth. I deal with a lot of teens. I deal with a lot of them. A part of the job I didn't really know was coming until I started getting them in the office. And they'd say, hey, Brother Eddie, can I talk to you? And I, oh, man, what problem do you have now? But it's got to be harder to be a teenager today than it was when I was a teenager. They got way more problems. Number three, it presents job security. One thing that bothers me with the teenagers, and I'm, again, keep flowing back to the teenagers. One thing that bothers me is when a teenager will say, I can't come to church on Sunday because I have a job. Well, that's great. And I understand if you have a family and all kinds of things to support. But if you were open and honest with your employer, if you would say to that employer when you went in for that job, and Jesus Christ, this church, this youth group was more important to you than that job, you would say to that employer, I've got church on Sunday. I can't work on Sunday. I'll work any other day, but I can't work on Sunday because I owe that day to God. I've got to give that day to God, and I can't give that day to you. And if you were open and honest with that employer and told him you're a Christian, told him you can't work on that day, it would be a lot easier in the long run. I hate when a teenager comes, what happened to you on Sunday? I'll call them on Monday. What happened to you on Sunday? Oh, I had to work. Well, is that because you got a lot of bills? Or, you know, is that because you got a car? No. Well, so what did you have to work for? Well, because I had a job and the boss said I had to. If you're going to be honest with an employer, though, live up to that name. If you're going to tell an employee you're a Christian, you better live up to it. Number four, moving quickly. Number four, my last point. Number one, it prepares you for heaven. Number two, it protects your marriage. Number three, it presents job security. And number four, it promotes a healthy home. My last point, it promotes a healthy home. As you saw back in Judges, Samson, he couldn't talk to his parents. He killed the lion and the honey was in the lion and he wasn't supposed to take of the dead animal and he couldn't go back and he wouldn't tell his parents. And it started there and he started with the little things and he started not telling his parents the little things. And then when he got older and it was time to get married and then he had a mistress over in the Philistines' camp, he couldn't tell his parents, but he was completely honest with his mistress. He told his mistress exactly where his strength lied. He was completely honest. Why are we transparent with the only people that don't matter instead of the people that do matter? Why is that? Number four, it promotes a healthy home. Little help for you parents that have a teenager. I can't help you a lot. I don't have a teenager of my own, so I'm not an expert in this area by any means. But I was a teenager, and this is one thing I do remember. As a young teenager, I didn't get into a lot of trouble. A young teenager. Older teenager, different story. Young teenager, I didn't get into a lot of trouble. I didn't get into a lot of trouble, and there was one reason why. That's because I spent my summers working every single day. I got up at 6 o'clock or whenever, if I worked with Scott, like maybe 10 o'clock. No, I'm kidding. But if get up and I would work and I would go scrap drywall. And one summer, I think I even tried to finish drywall. That didn't last very long. And one summer I excavated. And then when I was younger, I had to roof with my father. And my father kept me busy the entire summer long. Whether it was mowing the yard, or whether it was working, or whether it was doing chores, or whether it was doing this, when my buddies would call at 7 o'clock at night and say, "Hey, Eddie, you want to go to the movies? Hey, Eddie, you want to go to the roller hut? Hey, Eddie, you want to go to do this? Hey, Eddie, you want to go ride go-karts?" I'd say, "No, I just want to go to bed. I like my pillow a lot more than I like you right now." And they would go, "Oh, but this is Friday night, and there's all the cute girls at the mall. Let's go to the mall. Let's go talk to some girls at the mall." And I'd go, "I'd rather sleep. I'm a little wore out. I had to follow my grandpa around on the backhoe all day, and I'm tired." And one thing that helped me as a young teenager is my dad provided an opportunity for me to be transparent with him and not transparent with my buddies. Later in life, I got into some more serious trouble. A lot of us have. I got into some more serious trouble I won't go into, but the reason why I got into more extensive trouble. The reason why, and this isn't a little bit of trouble. I got in a lot of trouble. I got in trouble and a lot of trouble. Anyway, I'll just leave it there. I got in a lot of trouble because I was transparent with the wrong people. I went from transparent with my dad when I was working all the time and transparent with my parents. And when I had a problem, I would go talk to my parents. And if I had a problem, I'd go talk to my grandparents. When I had a problem, I'd go talk to my pastor. And I went from that point to the point where I started being transparent with my girlfriend and with my friends and with all the people that didn't matter at that point. And that's when I fell into the biggest trouble that I've ever been in my life. Because I was transparent with the wrong people. Let your kids be transparent with you. Let your kids be transparent with you. One thing that I loved about my parents is they were honest and they were open. There were some times when I would come to the supper table and I would say, "What does blank mean?" And they would choke on their food. And then my mom would go, "Oh, we'll tell you later." And not at the dinner table anyways. And there was always times where I felt like if I needed to, I could go to my parents and I could say, "What does this mean? What's this all about? Well, my buddy said this. What's this about?" Let your kids be transparent with you. I understand that some parents say, "There's off limits. You can't talk about this in our house. You can't do this in our house." Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something out of love. Your kids, if they have off limits in your house, it won't be off limits in their buddy's house. It won't be off limits when they're taking a ride down the road with their buddy for the first or second time when they turn 16. Your kids, if they're not being transparent with you, are transparent with somebody else. I know, I've had them in the office downstairs, and some of the stories they tell me, I wish they would tell their parents, and not me. You guys got that. But they will be transparent with somebody. They're going to be. That's part of growing up. That's part of being a kid. If they're not transparent with you, if you don't know what's going on in their lives, they're being transparent with somebody else. I promise you that. That's how it goes. And in return, if your kids are transparent with you, be transparent with them. Be transparent back with them. Tell them how you feel. Tell them what you think. Tell them. The one sad thing is that boys, when they get to a certain age, learn about a lot of other things from their buddies and not their daddies. One thing that I've promised myself is that when Skylar turns the age where he starts getting curious, I don't care if it's 9 or if it's 10 or if it's 11 or 12, I'll make sure that it's the right content, but I'm going to be the one that tells Skylar about the birds and the bees. Because I don't want his 14-year-old unqualified buddy telling him exactly what he learned in a magazine or on a TV. I'm going to teach my kids. I'm going to tell Skylar. I've already promised myself that. I've already decided that even Skylar's 5 years old, when he gets to the point where he goes, "Dad, what does that mean?" I'm going to go, "Let's go take a walk in the woods, son. And we're going to go talk about it. And we're going to get it out in the open, because that's the way it is." If you don't tell your kids, if you're not transparent with your kids, then somebody else will be. Or they'll learn it some other way. How many of you guys have seen the ads on TV that says, "Should we talk to our kids about drugs?" Have you seen that ad? That drives me crazy. I want to go to the TV and I want to say, "Yes! Talk to your kids about drugs! And talk to your kids about sex! And talk to your kids about marriage! And talk to them about dating! And talk to them about drinking and smoking and everything else that they are going to encounter in this life as they go through it. Talk to your kids about it. Talk to them. I don't... Who cares? Should we talk to our kids about drugs?" Yes! Let me give you some statistics. An average kid learns about sex at 9.5 years old. The average child trying out drugs for the very first time is just a little over 12. The average child trying alcohol is 11 years old. The average age of a child engaging in sex for the very first time is 13.5. If you have a 13.5-year-old child or older and you haven't talked to them, tonight's probably the night. We need to talk to our kids. Bottom line, if you're young or you're old, if you learn to be transparent with the right authority, you'll save yourselves a lot of heartache and a lot of tears. If you can learn to be transparent, if I could have learned to be transparent with Misty 4 or 5 years ago, we wouldn't have come through heartaches in our marriage like we did. We wouldn't have had to worry about the problems that we had to worry about if I just would have learned to be transparent with the right authority. The bottom line is, if you're transparent with the right authority, it'll put you in the right position with God. Number one, it prepares you for heaven. Number two, it protects your marriage. Number three, it presents job security. And number four, it promotes a healthy home. And if you don't mind, I want to be transparent with you for just a minute. I want to be transparent with you. I want to see something happen in this church. I want to see this church go forward by any means possible. I want to see this church take the next step. If we're on the fence and people are falling off, I'm ready to get off the fence and start going forward. By any means possible. And in my heart, I'm the youth pastor. I want to see it start with the teens. I want to see the teens go forward. I want to see the teens take this church to the next level. And you say, "I don't know how they can do that because they're teens and they don't know." Well, you know what? We had a bunch of teens go out to the church property and burn a bunch of CDs and burn a bunch of... I saw a teenager throw cigarettes in the fire. I saw some teenagers throw some clothing in the fire. I saw some teenagers throw some speakers in the fire and all kinds of stuff. And they started getting rid of stuff, separating themselves as holiness unto God. And if our teenagers can do it, you can do it. I had adults come back the next week and say, if the teenagers can get rid of their music, I'm getting rid of their music. Here's a bag of CDs. Can you burn them for me? And then I had another adult come to me and say, here's a bunch of DVDs. If you would get these DVDs to the fire, please do it. If our teenagers can go forward, you can go forward. And my burden is to take these teenagers. And my job is to get them to preacher. There's no mistake in that. My job is to not make them love me. My job is not to make them happy. My job is not to make them satisfied with the events. My job is to get you to our preacher. That's my job. My one and only job. As a youth pastor, I have to provide you with the tools necessary that when you get under preacher, you're ready to be there. That's my job. I want to do something. And there's one thing that bothers me more than anything. I love talking about the good old days. I love hearing about the good old days. Problem was, I never lived in them, so it was hard. It's hard for me to picture them. But the good old days, right? The good old days. The good old days. We used to see lots of people saved. We used to see all-night revivals and all-night prayer meetings and all-night and people coming down the aisles and people getting baptized. Well, you know what? Let's forget about the good old days. Let's get some greater days. Let's have some greater days. Let's forget about how many were saved last Sunday and see how many are going to be saved this Sunday. Let's forget about the ones that are baptized this year. Let's get some more baptized this year. Let's forget about the good old days and let's get some greater days. Let's get some greater days. That is my burden. I want to take this teen class and I want to take them forward and I want to have some greater days. Listen, I had David Ballard, I had Bill Turner Jr. to walk the shoes to walk in. Tough shoes. But you know what? God is still able. God is still here. Whether Bill Turner went to that church or went to another church, Bill Turner is not your leader. God is your leader. I'm not your leader. God is your leader. Let's have some greater days. Let's have some greater days. The power of transparency. If you can learn to be transparent with the right authority, it puts you in the right place with God. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you be transparent tonight? Would you be transparent first of all with God? Your first. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you were to walk out of here today and get hit by a car and go straight into eternity, are you ready to be transparent with God then? My dad had a drywaller go out into eternity on Monday night. On Monday night, a 30-some-year-old guy died. He died. And 6 months before that, he told me that God didn't have any blank in his life. I bet you he's pretty transparent right now. You think he's transparent? I bet you he is. Will you be transparent with God tonight? Will you tell God, I'm a filthy sinner. I'm a filthy sinner. I'm a filthy sinner. And God, I can't get to heaven. I can't have anything aside from you, God. Be transparent with God tonight. And accept Him as your Savior. And maybe some of you guys need to be more transparent with your kids. Maybe you need to be more transparent with your boss. Maybe you need to be more transparent with your pastor. Maybe you need to be more transparent with your spouse. And there's no greater place to become transparent other than this old-fashioned altar right down here. Brother Rob.
Let's all stand. Brother Rob.
Number 17.
Hymn number 17. The altar's open. Can't imagine a more just honest and tremendous challenge. Please, Brother Rob.